And welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner. We're about to have a conversation with Chris Van Hollen, who has served the 8th District in the United States Congress since 2003 and is chair of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. And Chris Van Hollen, welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be with you, Mark.
We've been talking to everybody in our delegation here in the state of Maryland. And as I tell our listeners, we're looking forward to talking to all the delegates, all the congressmen, even those one who voted against this bill, to see why they voted against. But clearly you voted for the health care bill. Talk a bit about, what you see this bill is doing. There's been a lot of critique whether you read the New York Times business section saying that this is a real boon for a big pharma and a kind of a slap at generic drugs that though it will be able to take all but 15 million Americans and cover them, and it changes the playing field, that some people are touting this as big as the Medicare Act under Lyndon Baines Johnson. What's your honest assessment of what this bill does and doesn't do?
Well, my assessment is this is a major positive change for the American people. We passed Medicare back in 1965. To provide coverage to our senior citizens to make sure they wouldn't live in fear that their health conditions would bankrupt them. We passed Medicaid to provide medical assistance to the poor. And we've had this gaping hole for middle Americans, hardworking Americans who are seeing their premiums go up every year and not able to afford health care or when they get health care, find that it's not there for them when they need it most because the insurance companies find some small print that they use to deny coverage. There's a reason the insurance industry spent millions and millions of dollars around the country to try and defeat this. And that's because insurance companies have had their way for a very long time under the American health care system. They do stand to lose because what this legislation will do is take power away from insurance companies and transfer more of those powers to consumers, to patients, and to an oversight process that will help rein them in. So I think that this is a huge step forward for the health care system in the country, the health insurance system in the country. And that's just part of what it does, but that's a very important part of it. 32 million Americans who do not have coverage today will get coverage over time as this this unfolds. And people who do have coverage today will have a much better bargaining power with their insurance companies and will have greater choices and competition as this is fully phased in. So I think this is an important victory for American consumers and patients, and it is a big piece of unfinished business for our country.
Now, some people have, in a couple articles I've read, have likened this in some ways to the Civil Rights Act of 1965 that was a huge step forward for America, for all Americans, but did not ensure African Americans in 1965 of the right to vote. And some people are comparing this bill to that in that this still has a way to go, that most Americans want to see a public option. They want to see their drugs be cheaper. They want to see health care costs controlled to a greater degree. Is there a next step to this, do you see, over the coming years in Congress, or what's your assessment of that?
Well, this is a major step forward. This is a gigantic stride in our health care reform effort. It does plug out big hole. Certainly, over time, that we'll see changes and modifications to this. I certainly wanted to see a public option as part of this. And if it turns out that as this is implemented, we don't achieve the greater choices and competitions that to bring down price, then I think there will be a greater push for a public option. But there's one part of this that hasn't gotten a lot of attention, which is in the bill, and this is in the bill that passed the Senate, there's a directive that the Office of Personnel Management, that's the office responsible for federal government employees, set up nationally at least two national health policies, health insurance plans, one of which has to be a nonprofit under the law. And both these plans, and I'm sure there'll be more than two, have to operate in all 50 states. That will begin to put pressure on price and provide more choices to people throughout the country, because one of the major problems we have is one or two insurance companies have a lock on the market in most areas. And in a lot of areas, you have a huge consolidation in the markets where 75% of market share is controlled by one or two health insurance companies. By inserting this competition and requiring that two national health policy, health care plans be put in place, including at least one nonprofit, you're going to create pressure, downward pressure on price of health, the price of health care, and provide more choices, just as we have more choices in the federal employees health benefit plan, which is what members of Congress belong to. Every year, people get a menu of options, different kinds of plans, and different prices, and people choose among them. And this will provide those kind of choices to all Americans when it's implemented.
So I wonder, it looks like the next looming battle inside of Capitol Hill will be around the Consumer Financial Protection Agency that is going to be debated, that is coming out of committee. And I two questions about that. I wonder, leading up to your role as chair of the DCCC, I wonder if Democrats have talking among themselves about what they have learned in this process of battling for the health care bill over the last more than a year, in terms of what compromises mean and almost the impossibility of that in this day and age across the aisle, and whether that would translate into a stronger consumer financial protection a bill coming out that actually controls banks' derivatives with an independent agency outside the Federal Reserve. What do you think is going to happen there?
Sure. Well, our preference, of course, is to try and get our Republican colleagues on board with a very strong Wall Street accountability bill. But the desire to get Republicans on board cannot override the importance of getting it right for the American consumer. Our number one priority has to be to put in place a oversight system that really holds Wall Street accountable. We'd like to have Republicans join us in that effort, but if they're not going to, we need to push ahead on our own, because there are huge lessons to be learned from the financial meltdown about a year and a half ago. And we need to make sure that the American taxpayer is never again held hostage to some of these really bad decisions that were made on Wall Street. And while Wall Street has recovered, thanks to taxpayer help, Main Street continues to hurt. So we've been working very hard to make sure that at the end of the day, Wall Street has to pay back the taxpayer. And that's why the president has proposed a fee on the biggest banks, banks with assets of over $50 billion. And we need oversight over the derivatives market and all these very creative financial instruments that ended up creating huge problems for the country. And so the bottom line is the most important thing is to get it right for the American consumer. We would hope that our Republicans colleagues would join us, but it's become clear that many of them are siding with the biggest banks and trying to stop this effort. And we need to expose that fact if they're going to try and block this effort.
And finally, a political question is, chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, when you first, this last year, some might have thought that Chris Van Hollen might have an easier job of it, given what happened in the election of President Barack Obama. But this could be a very tough election year. I mean, you have a large number of Democrats, including one in Maryland, Cradiville, who voted against this health care bill. And the divide that takes place here with some progressives and liberals now running against people like Cradiville in other states. Talk a bit about what you see as happening in terms of this election coming in this fall. I mean, you have a very tough job ahead of you.
Sure. Well, look, this will be a tough election season, Mark, because there are a number of things that are going on at the same time. Number one, history tells us that the first midterm for new presidents is always tough for the president's party. If you go back to the time Abraham Lincoln was president, there have only been two elections where a new president's party has won seats in a midterm. That's that was 1934 under Roosevelt and 2002 under George Bush for a variety of reasons. But other than that, president's parties have difficulty in the first midterm. You put on top of that the fact that Democrats have picked up 55 seats in the last two election cycles in some very politically difficult territory. And you can see that we have an uphill climb. I mean, everyone who looks at this knows we have an uphill climb. Now, to what extent that uphill climb gets complicated by the political environment, different issues that are out there, obviously will have an impact on just how tough a climb it is. And a lot of people have believed that health care was going to be this really terrible issue for the Democrats in the election. I do not think that is true. I think that people are going to wake up now and recognize that the president signed the bill and the world is not coming to an end. We don't have death panels sprouting up all over. It is not the Armageddon that the Republican leader in the House, John Boehner, said it would be. The world is still here, and they'll see that. And I think our Republican colleagues will lose some credibility because they overhyped this and used all that overheated rhetoric. And at the same time, the American people are going to begin to see the positive benefits of this. They're going to see that their children cannot be denied health care because their kids have pre-existing conditions. Seniors will be getting a little bit more help in paying for their prescription drugs. People who have been paying their monthly premiums, you know, year in and year out, only to find that they're kicked off or not given the care they need when they need it most, they're going to get that care. Small businesses will get tax credits to help purchase coverage for their employees. So people will begin to see the benefits, and they'll realize the scare tactics were just plain untrue. And so I think that this will actually be seen as a very positive development. Now, is it the only issue? Of course not. The biggest overlaying issue is the state of the economy
right.
and jobs.
Right.
And there we have made significant progress from where we were a year ago. I mean, this economy was in recession, headed very rapidly toward a depression. Things have stabilized. The economy is growing in terms of gross domestic product, a big turnaround there. Clearly, we need to continue to focus on job creation. A lot fewer people are losing their jobs today than a year ago by huge numbers, but we will not be satisfied until we turn the corner and see net positive job growth, and that will be our focus going forward. But there is the connection between, you know, health care and jobs. I mean, in this country today, if you lose your job, you lose your health care. And a lot of people go bankrupt because of the rising cost of premiums. And so the connection between health quality and health security and economic security is very strong.
Now, one final question, if you have just one more moment, just adding on to what you just said. I mean, one of the things that pushed President Barack Obama over the top in this election, it was a very tight election, was the passion that people felt in terms of a new America they thought they could be, that could happen. And I'm talking about the people who voted for Barack Obama. And in some ways, many of those people are – America is very nervous now. I mean, we the economy may be turning around, and we all hope it is turning around. But there, if you look at all the numbers beyond the official unemployment numbers, it could rise to as high as 18% if you're talking about the underemployed and those who stop looking for work and the numbers of people who are doubling up in their homes that go beyond unemployment issues and people worried about their retirement and their and having enough money to make it and still worrying about their mortgages and all that are things that are, A, sometimes hard to quantify but very palpable. And what motivate people to vote against, vote for, or not to vote at all. And so what is it the Democrats are going to do to inspire those people who put this vast majority into Congress and put President Barack Obama in the White House to come out and support the candidates again?
Well, a number of things. First, President Obama inherited a terrible mess when he came into office. We know that the economy was in total free fall. We know that 700,000 Americans lost their jobs in that month. We know that people had lost trillions of dollars in value in their pensions. All those things had begun to turn around within the space of 14 months. I think the American people are fair. I think they recognize that you can't snap your fingers and have things magically turn around. And the fact is that the economic recovery bill, the stimulus bill, helped significantly to stabilize things, and not a single Republican in the House voted for that. On top of that, we passed the major health care reform legislation. This has been an objective of many presidents who want to reform the system over generations. And what we're seeing is that passage of that bill and signature of the health care reform bill by the president has re-energized all the people who got out there and helped in the campaign, because it is change they can believe in. This is, as I said earlier, a major defeat for the insurance industry. That is why they are spending millions of dollars to try to defeat it, and are now going to be working to try and repeal it, apparently, which I think is a loser for them, by the way. And finally, the president and the Congress are going to be working very hard to impose accountability on Wall Street. And it's very clear that public colleagues have been working very closely with the bankers to try and slow this process down, with the biggest bankers. But we're going to push it. And we are going to make sure that we prevail on this issue. And in the process, if our Republican colleagues don't join us, they will be exposed as working special interests who benefited from the taxpayer rescue and now do not want to reform their ways.
Congressman Chris Van Hollen, thanks so much for taking the time with your constituents and our listeners, and we look forward to talking to you again soon. Good luck with everything.
Thank you, Mark.
Take care.
Bye-bye.